دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
روز بخیر شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران، به خصوص طرفداران برنامه دنیای ما جامعه ما. من دبی امینی هستم و امروز به همراه کارگردان فنی خوبمون آرمینه عزیز میزبان مهمانی هستیم با معروفیت جهانی و پیروان بسیار زیاد، به خصوص در قشر جوانان. معروفیت ایشون به خاطر فعالیت‌های بسیار گسترده است که برای مبارزه با یهودی ستیزی انجام میدن، که در کمال تأسف دنیا همیشه با آن مواجه بوده و در زمان جنگ جهانی دوم در کشورهای اروپایی به اوج خودش رسیده بود. ایشون مدرک لیسانس را از دانشگاه کلمبیا گرفتن و دلیل انتخابشون از این محل این بود که این دانشگاه رتبه اول ضد یهودیت را در شمال آمریکا دارا بود. در حال حاضر با بیش از 300 هزار طرفدار در رسانه‌های اجتماعی سعی بر اون دارن که شناخت دقیق و واقعی از یهودیان، یهودیت و کشور اسرائیل مبنا بر اسناد و مدارک دقیق عینی به دنیا ارائه بدن و همچنین همگان رو با راهکارهای آشنا کنن که بتونن با آنتی‌سمیتیسم یا یهود ستیزی مقابله کنن. احتمالاً بسیاری از شما شنوندگان عزیز حد زدید که مهمان امروز برنامه شخصیت معروف و پرطرفدار همیشگی رودی راکمن هستند. در ضمن اگر که دوست دارین که با استودیو تماس بگیرید و سوالات خودتون مطرح کنید، با ایشون صحبت کنید، شماره تلفن 323-512-7264 در خدمتتون هست و تا ساعت 1:50 میتونید با ما تماس بگیرید و سوالات خودتون رو مطرح کنید. رودی، thank you so much for accepting my invitation and being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I want to start our conversation today with what happened recently on the famous morning TV show, The View, and what Whoopi Goldberg said on the program about the Holocaust. She said that it wasn't about the race. She was given 2 weeks off suspension after that, rejoined the talk show on Valentine's Day, and she opened with, yes, I'm back. I believe there is a lot to learn from this one incident when you look at it closely and from different angles. Let me ask you first, do you find what Whoopi Goldberg said anti-Semitic?
Well, what she said is, I think, representative of what a lot of people believe and think that is wrong about the Jewish people, and there's a great misunderstanding of who we are as a nation. A lot of people think that Judaism is a religion, and a religion is a belief system that crosses over borders, that someone is a part of it if they choose to believe in it or not. So in Christianity, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe in Muhammad, you're not a Muslim. If you don't believe in Buddha, you're not a Buddhist. So being part of religion is only dependent on if you believe in it or don't believe in it, and it could be for anyone in the world. The Jewish people are not that. We're not a wandering religion. We're actually a civilization that was displaced. And in order to preserve our civilization, we created something called Judaism as a sort of portable suitcase to pass down that identity generation to generation and to one day come back home and to revive that civilization back to Zion, back to Jerusalem. And so a lot of people misunderstand that the Jewish people are people, and because they think of us as a religion, then when they see actions being taken against Jews that were living in Europe as actions of the same people. And the Jews are not the same people as the Europeans. They're not the same people as the Persians. They're not the same people as the Moroccans. They're not the same people as the Americans. We are a Jewish people. We are from Judea. So what she says in itself, we can say that her ideas were, let's say, anti-Semitic, but I don't think her intentions were anti-Semitic. I think she misunderstands the Jewish people. I think she should have never spoken up publicly because she has a huge platform, a huge ability to make light or darkness on her platform, and issues she doesn't know about, she shouldn't be speaking. Now, it isn't about race, because Judaism isn't a race. Race in itself is a social structure that was created in order to divide people based on genetic elements of what they look like. And the Jewish people look like many different things. We have many different color Jews, many different shapes, sizes, textures. So we're not a race, but we're also not a religion, and we're also not white. Because to be white is not only about one's skin color, it's also about one's status and origins. in Asia, you have very pale individuals, and although they have white skin, they're not Aryan and they're not European. In Africa, you can have albinos that are black and African but have white skin, and that doesn't make them white. So being white is more than just skin color. It has to do with your origins being from Europe and your status as being accepted as a white person within white societies. If we look at the Jewish people, Jews have experiences all around the world. You know, this is a Persian-Iranian radio show. You had many Jews that were living for thousands of years and were part of the Persian Empire. You had Jews living in North Africa. You had Jews living in India. You had Jews living in Africa and all around the world. And yes, some Jews were displaced from Judea and had an experience in Europe, not all, but some, and they do not originate from Europe. And on top of that, while they were living in Europe for thousands of years, they were never accepted as Europeans. They were not allowed to have equal rights. They were not allowed to participate in agrarianism, to own property, and millions of Jews were exterminated over the years due to them not being white. And even today, you go to most communities in Europe and you have the police, if not the army, outside of the Jewish community centers because of how serious anti-Semitism is. You go to New York City, 13% of the population is Jewish, a minority in the city, and over 56% of the total hate crimes are specifically targeted against the Jewish community. So do the Jewish people have a status of being accepted as white within white societies? I would argue absolutely not. And in fact, we face more attacks from white supremacists than any other community put together. That being said, do some Jews sometimes, based on how they look like because they're not expressing their identity outwardly, can they sometimes be white passing? Sure. But, you know, the conversation of being white passing is much more nuanced than just what you look like, because on the list, if you ask someone's name, some black people can be white passing and some Jews can't be white passing. If you're looking at someone's houses and you see many different houses and some people might be Hispanic or Native American, they might be white passing because you can't tell that their houses are Hispanic or Native American. But on the Jewish house, you have a mezuzah, you can tell every Jewish house who they are. So the conversation of the Jewish experience is much more nuanced. But I think the underlying problem with what Whoopi Goldberg brought up is that the general public and pop culture does not understand who the Jewish people are and what our experience is. And what was really offensive that she said was not necessarily saying that it's not about race, but generalizing our experience. If someone was attacking the black community, people wouldn't say, oh, this is just man's humanity against society. But they would say, no, this is specifically an attack against people of color. So attacks against Jews are specifically against Jews, and we have to talk about that.
But besides that, I think Whoopi's knowledge about the Holocaust was not correct, because she didn't even know that Hitler killed black people as well as Jewish people. As you know, just you mentioned that maybe she didn't know that Jewish people are from a race or Judaism, having a view about Judaism in that way. But I think Hitler literally killed everyone who wasn't from his German superior race. I mean, 11 lives were lost during Holocaust, 6 million were Jews, and the rest were like homosexuals, people from mental and physical disabilities, gypsies, Muslims, blacks were killed as well. So it was about the race. It wasn't just Hitler against Jewish people.
Right. Hitler's perspective was that the Jewish people were a race that had to be exterminated. However, the idea of race in itself is a made-up concept. It doesn't actually exist. This idea that we should separate ourselves based on what we look like is ridiculous, right? Are we going to start a curly-haired people race and a bald people race and a brown-eyed people race and a blue-eyed people? Like, who decided that the color of your skin or the shape of your eyes would be the definition of what race you would have? So, yes, there is such a thing as race because human beings have created it. And, of course, it's changed definitions with the different people in power. So what I'm saying to Whoopi's comments is, it's not about race because A, race doesn't exist, and B, the Jewish people look in many different ways and are not a race in ourselves.
Right.
But it was what she didn't understand is the Jewish people were targeted for being an other people, not for being a religion amongst white people, but for being an other people.
Right.
And she didn't understand our own experience and generalized it and minimized it and appropriated it. And it was really not the place and time to speak about those issues. And I think that, influencers should know that they have a responsibility with their platforms. They can do a lot of damage and hurt, even if it's not necessarily intentional. So I don't think even in her apology, which wasn't really an apology, she even really understood the harm that she did. So I don't think her intentions were anti-Semitic. I don't think she wanted to attack the Jewish people, but definitely the ideas that you were transmitting borderline anti-Semitism, which, is the 3 Ds, if you delegitimize, demonize, or hold double standards. And I think this was a mix of double standards and delegitimizing, you know, who the Jewish people are in our experiences, not necessarily demonizing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sorry to interrupt you, but I agree with you that Whoopi, with the platform that she has to be more careful about what she's saying, and she has to have more knowledge about what she says. But as you know, many of people, especially non-Jewish population of the world, have the same view that Whoopi Goldberg has. They don't realize what anti-Semitism is and what Holocaust was about. Despite of all the museums, Remembrance Days, Liberation Days, etc., I can't remember. Despite of all those, people still don't know what exactly happened and what Nazis did to Jewish people and the rest of the world. Why do you think is that? Why do you think after all these years, there is so much lack of knowledge among people?
I think a big part of it is, first of all, the Jewish people are a small minority. We're 0.2% of the world's population, 2% of the United States population, because that has one of the biggest Jewish communities in the world. And number two, I think the Jewish people do a horrible job to express their stories. You know, when you talk about black rights, you don't want to hear it from KKK members. When you speak about women rights, you don't want to hear it from misogynists. And unfortunately, the only people really talking about Jewish experience and identity and history and aspirations and so on are usually people that are anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. So we're allowing the world to narrate our own story. If we go back 60, 70 years ago in the United States, women didn't have the right to vote. Black people were segregated and obviously didn't have equal rights. Today, if someone were to come to a college campus and even say something that was borderline sexist or borderline racist, they would automatically be rejected from the university. People would ostracize them. People would reject it. And you know what? Rightfully so, because pop culture has shifted to recognizing right and wrong for different minority communities. But they haven't yet done that for the Jewish people, because the Jewish people haven't yet invested in earning their rights. They still believe that rights are just granted, rather than understanding that rights are developed and earned. And when it comes to the Holocaust, the Jewish people focus so much on remembering it rather than preventing the next one. We need to be able to narrate our own story, to create coalitions, to expose bad ideas, to change and speak in a language that the society and the way that they're speaking and resonating understands. And those are a lot of things that the Jewish people are not doing. We've adopted this sort of settle mentality where we get into our little communities, we put our heads down, we don't want to make noise, we want to speak amongst each other to make us feel proud of the material accomplishments that Israel or the Jewish people have created. We pat ourselves on the back and we continue to live under the connections that we have from the top down with the king and queen, the emperor, or the presidents and ambassadors and congressmen, rather than understanding that to really ensure the future of a people, you have to invest in the bottom up. You
right.
have to invest in the future generations and how pop culture relates to those communities and how they have respect for those communities. And I think that's a big failure of the Jewish community themselves.
Right. You mentioned, I really liked it. You said that Jewish people did all the effort in remembering it, but not preventing it. And, you know, after the Holocaust, Jewish people promised never again. And I think it was recently that Eve Barlow, who is another activist fighting anti-Semitism, she wrote Never Again Is Now. I'm assuming that you agree with her. Do you see or feel the rise of another anti-Semitic movement?
I mean, it never really went away. It just changed forms. It absolutely is rising anti-Semitism everywhere that you go, in terms of numbers of physical attacks, in terms of people being killed, in terms of societies turning a blind eye to these issues, in terms of spaces, intellectual and political and pop cultural and even economic spaces becoming more and more anti the Jewish people and closed off to Jewish ideas. So definitely, and I would say it a little bit differently. I would say that never again. It's not a magic spell that just because you say it once a year that it means it doesn't happen again. It's a generational commitment to make sure it doesn't happen again. And the reason that it happened in the first place, sure, it was the Nazis that pulled the trigger and exterminated 6 million Jews and another millions of other peoples. But it's the Jewish people that allowed the Nazis to grow and grow and grow and get into political power and create coalitions and shift the next generation and get into the education system and change the society in order for them to eventually do what was the final solution. Anti-Semitism in Nazi Germany didn't come out of nowhere. It's not one day Jews are a part of society and the next day they're being thrown into gas chambers and ovens. There was a decade of rise of anti-Semitism. And what were the Jewish leaders at the time doing about it? Putting their heads down and making excuses of why not to do something. And so as anti-Semitism today is rising in a different way than it rose back in the 30s and 40s leading to the Holocaust, it's happening differently today. Instead of doing something about it, most of these Jewish institutions, organizations, heads of communities, rabbis, and so on, are, you know, creating their own events within their own community and finding ways to make excuses to not take action and to not prevent it. So if we allow anti-Semitism to rise, it's not because they did such a good job, it's because we didn't do enough of our job.
Mm-hmm. I want to very briefly point out a few things that people can look at and see them as a sign of anti-Semitism rising again. What is it at this point of the war? You said that it didn't happen all of a sudden. All of a sudden, Jews didn't end up in the gas chambers. It started from somewhere. So in today's life, what are those things, those signs that you can mention?
Okay, so let's give the example of college universities today. And in universities, they really represent the future political, intellectual, and economic class of the next generation. Those coming out of universities eventually go into positions of power in the media and politics and business and law and medicine, and they will be those who are deciding what kind of reality that we're living in. In those institutions, you have movements that claim to be pro-Palestinian, and I'm very pro-Palestinian myself, and the reason I say claim to be pro-Palestinian is because when Palestinians are dying by the thousands in Syria, in the hundreds of thousands of refugee camps in Lebanon and Jordan, suffering on the border of Gaza and Egypt, or under the Palestinian Authority or Hamas, they don't talk about that. They only talk about cherry-picked instances of Palestinian suffering when it has to do with Israel. And of course, that has to be addressed because that is a big part of the suffering experience that Palestinians go through. But they're manipulating and using that suffering to create political ammunition to attack Israel, the Jewish people, and the legitimacy and connection we have to our land. So on college campuses, you have these groups who go to every single minority group and convince them that their source of suffering and struggles is either the same that the Palestinians are experiencing by Israel, or Israel is directly responsible for their struggles as well. And this is exactly what systemic anti-Semitism is throughout history. Find the source of suffering of a community, get the extremist group to blame that suffering on the Jewish people for the greater collective, and that greater collective will eventually come to the conclusion that the problem and solution to our issues is taking it out on the Jewish people. So they go to the Black Student Association and say, oh, you suffer from police brutality and racism? Well, we suffer from IDF brutality and Israeli racism. And not only that, the Israelis trained the New York State Police Department to kill Black people. Now, obviously, that's a ridiculous claim to make. How did they even get there? Because there was one self-defense instructor, Krav Maga teacher, who was 40 years old and gave one time a one-hour class to one precinct in New York to learn how to do self-defense. And because this person 20 years ago had served in the IDF like every other Israeli, somehow this is how we're going to connect police brutality to the IDF, as if police brutality started in 1948. And they do the same thing with the Native American group. Oh, some white colonialists stole your land. Well, the Jews are a bunch of fake white people from Europe who stole our land. Women, you don't have equal rights. We don't have equal rights. And they're writing not only in the struggles of Palestinians now, but in the struggles of all minority communities to get society to the conclusion that if you want to fight for a better world, which is what the younger generation wants, you have to attack Israel because they are the source of the problem. And it's happening on a, you know, it started on a micro level underground, and now it's macro level, and it's very much so mainstream. And even look on Netflix, you know, these places on YouTube and on Facebook and on Instagram, all these platforms, the majority of the content that you see is usually pretty anti-Israel. Why? It's not necessarily because that's the goals of these platforms to push out this information. This is reflective of where society actually is at. Mm-hmm. So we need to have conversations of how to shift pop culture and not just to make coalitions on the top with people in power to give us temporary security.
I hear. Thank you so much. Let's go take a very short commercial break, and then we're going to be back and continue our conversation. دوستان عزیز خواهش میکنم تا بخش دوم برنامه با ما باشید. با صحبت‌های خودمون با رودی راکمن ادامه خواهیم داد.